بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our studies of the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his wasiyah, the wasiyah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah. اتق الله حيثما كنت, to fear Allah wherever you may be. اتق الله في سر أمرك وعلانيته, to fear Allah in your private and public affairs. استحي من الله حق الحياء, to be shy from Allah truly and sincerely and truthfully, to fear him, to believe in him, to know him by his beautiful names and his lofty attributes of perfection, and from them subhanahu wa ta'ala as-sami' al-basir, that he is the one who hears and sees all things, allam al-ghuyub, and he is the one who knows the unseen. He knows all things, the unseen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, he is the knower of the seen and the unseen. Alimun bi dhati sudur, and he is the one who knows what is in the breasts of mankind. Yani, nothing is hidden from him. La takhfa alayhi khafiya, nothing is hidden from him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we have left off in our previous class. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he's discussing this affair specifically about fearing Allah in private. And the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to fear Allah wherever you may be. To fear Allah wherever you may be. And this is general with regards to every time and every place. But here the issue is specifically with regards to in private, whenever the eyes of the people cannot see you, whenever one is not seen by the people and he is only seen by Allah Azza wa Jal. At this time the Salaf, they have advised the believers to strive to be even more sincere and to strive to be even more pious and to strive to fear Allah even more whenever one is alone, and to kuna خَرَوَاتُ الْإِنسَانِ أَصْلَحَ مِنْ جَرَيَاتِهِ, that his private affairs would be even more upright and rectified than his public affairs, or the affairs that can be seen. And this is the test of true sincere faith, because the people, no doubt, they do not like to be exposed in front of the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the creator of the people. And he can see us whenever we are with the people and whenever we are alone. The same, it's the same for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, those who hide their errors and mistakes, and they hide their faults or their sins from the people, but they do not hide them from the creator of the people, this is deficiency in iman, and this is deficiency in the faith and in the taqwa, and this is from the attributes that are considered hypocrisy. And from that aspect, that a person, he'll be afraid of what the people say about him, but he's not afraid of what Allah sees from him, from sins and disobedience. So this is what the author, he's mentioning about this. We're reading in our previous class that he mentioned Rawad Ba'duhum Arabiyatan, that there was a man who had tried to entice a desert Arab woman and they're in the desert alone. And he said to her, Ma yarana ila al-kawakib, that nobody sees us now except for the stars. And he's trying to entice her and to seduce her and to encourage her to commit fornication with him. And as his enticement or seduction, nobody can see us now. It's only us and the stars. But she is upon the fitrah. And then she says, فَأَيْنَ مُكَوْكِبُهَا, if that's the case, no one can see us but the stars, then where is the one who created the stars? Then where is the one who created the stars? So therefore, this is the issue. And to be afraid of the one who created mankind and the one who provided the eyesight for us, that he can see us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he can see the people and he knows what they're doing. So this issue here is called al-maraqabah. And this is from the highest levels of faith and from the highest levels of the deen, to have al-ihsan and ta'budallaha ka'annaka tarahu ولم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah as if He sees you, and if He can, as if you see Him. And if you do not see Him, then you know that He sees you. Meaning a person, he is aware of Allah Azza wa Jalla at all times. And he is aware that Allah sees him. And he is aware that Allah hears him. And he is aware and conscious that Allah knows what he's doing. So this is called al-maraqabah. Al-maraqabah, to observe this issue and to be aware of this, to be conscious and to be awake and to not be heedless about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can see a person. So he mentioned a narration called al-harith al-muhasibi. Al-maraqabatu ilmu al-qalbi, ilmu al-qalbi bi-qurbi al-rabb. Bi-qurbi al-rabb. So the reality of a maraqabah, and to have the consciousness of Allah, and to observe Him, and to be aware of Him, and that He is watching and having all knowledge of the person, this is whenever the heart is aware of the nearness of Allah. The meaning that the heart knows that his Lord is close to him. And he close to him by way of his knowledge. Close to him by way of his knowledge. That nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mentioned here, وَسُئِلَ الْجُنَيْدِ بِمَا يُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى غَضِ الْبَصَرِ. And Junaid, he was asked about something one could use as a means to help him lower his gaze. And he was, what is something that would help a person lower his gaze? Lower his gaze only from that which he sees on the street. And even today we have to lower our gaze from that which we carry in our pockets, and from these screens. Likewise requires for a person to lower his gaze and to turn his eyes away from that which is impermissible. Whether he sees it directly, whether he sees it on the screens, on the computer screens, or on the screens of the phone and the likes, a person, he has to know how to lower his gaze. So he's asking here, or he was asked here about how, or about something that would help him to do that. What is something that would help a person be able to lower his gaze? He says, قَالَ بِعِلْمِكَ أَنَّ نَظَرَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ أَسْبَقُ مِن نَظَرِكَ إِلَى مَا تَنْظُرُهُ. That you know that the fact that Allah, He sees you, and that He sees quicker than what you are looking at. And before you see something, Allah, He's seeing you all, at all times and in every situation. So if a person were to take a peek, before he takes the peek, Allah is aware of him. Allah is seeing him, and Allah is knowing what he is upon and what he is intending, even in his heart. So therefore, the fact that a person, he remembers this is what will prohibit him. He knows that if he were to look, Allah is already watching. He knows if he were to take a peek, that Allah is already watching. Even if he to look around to see if the people are looking, possibly he can look while the people are not looking, he should remember that brother, Allah is watching. And at that time, this should cause him to be shy. To be shy that he was worried about the people and not worried about his Lord, and he looking at him. So this is the greatest means that would help a person to fear Allah, in public and in private. But in private specifically, because he knows that Allah can see him, and he knows that Allah can hear him, and he knows that Allah is aware of him. This is the greatest thing, to remember this and to know this with certainty, and to know that one is going to meet Allah likewise, and he's going to hold him accountable for what he looks at and what he hears, and the likes like this, and what he does, and what he says, then this is from the greatest means that will carry a person to be steadfast, to be steadfast in this issue, the fear of Allah, knowing that he hears, and knowing that he sees all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned here, وَكَانَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ يُنْشِدُ. And Imam Ahmad, he used to mention some lines of poetry. إذا ما خلوت الدهر يوما فلا تقول خلوت ولكن قل علي رقيب ولا تحسبن الله يغفر ساعة ولا أن ما يخفى عليه يغيب. Mentioning some lines of poetry by Imam Ahmed, and they mean that if you are ever alone, and if in a period of time, if there's ever a time that you are alone, do not say that I am alone, but rather say watching, there was one who was watching over me. But rather say there is one who is watching over me. So don't think that you're by yourself. So don't think that you're alone. So never say, oh, I'm alone by myself. But rather know that there is one who is with you, watching over you, and he's aware of what you're doing. And he is the one who has provided for you your eyesight. And he is the one who has provided for you your ears and your hearing and your mind to reflect. And he is the one who has given you all of the good that you have. Rather, he is the one who has brought you into existence. And he is the one whom you are returning to. So don't say that I'm by myself, or now finally I'm alone at last. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is with you. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is with you. How is he with you? Huh? بِعِلْمِهِ, with his knowledge. Because Allah himself, where is he? He's above the heavens and above the throne in a manner befitting his majesty. We wouldn't want to confuse this issue. Naam, ahsant. Jazakallah khairan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala al-arsh istawa. Naam. But he's with you by way of his knowledge. And he's with you by way of his hearing and seeing. And he sees all things. So therefore, إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَوْمًا فَلَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ وَلَكِنْ قُلْ عَلَيْ رَقِيبُ وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُرُ سَاعَةً وَلَا أَنَّ مَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ يَغِيبُ. And do not also likewise everything that Allah is heedless or forgetful at any period of time. And do not ever think that something that is hidden is unseen to him. And because it's hidden to the eyes of the people, it's not hidden to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is well aware of all things. Well aware of all things. From his names, Al-Khabir and Al-Latif, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Khabir, he's the one who was well acquainted with all things. Al-Latif, from the meanings of that beautiful name, is that he knows the most minute affairs. The smallest of all affairs, he is aware of them. And the most detailed and minute of all affairs in this creation, he is well aware of that, and he sees that, and he knows that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وكان ابن السماك ينشد, and also he's mentioning some more lines of poetry by Ibn al-Simak. يا مدمن الذنب أما تستحي والله في الخلوة ثانيك غرك من ربك إمهاله وستره طول مساويك. He said, oh, so the one who is, yeah, mudmina dhamb, the one who is constantly sinning, the one who is constantly sinning, should you not be shy? Amma tastahi wallahu fil khalwati thanika, and Allah, he is, whenever you're alone, the second along with you, and Allah, whenever you are alone, he is the second along with you, and you have been deceived by the fact that your Lord has not taken you to account, and he has covered your faults and your mistakes or your sins. And in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his forbearance, he does not take us to account and punish us for every last sin that we do, rather he gives us time to repent. So some people are deceived by this, and some people, they are tricked by this, and this is a means for them to fall even more into sin. The fact that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not punish them immediately, directly, that they think or they see for their sins and their actions of disobedience, but rather sometimes Allah, he will let the slave go for some time for him to repent. And if he continues to disobey Allah azza wa jal and then continues likewise to provide for him, then this is what is called al-istidraj. Al-istidraj. And this is something that the Salaf, they were very afraid of. Al-istidraj is whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will leave a slave in his disobedience and his transgression and open the ways for him until he is engulfed in sin, and he will take his soul at that time. And he will take his soul at that time whenever he is partaking in his lust and in his sins, and whenever he has completely exposed himself and weakened faith, and he will leave him to this and leave him to himself and then take his soul at this time. And this is from the worst of all punishments. And this is from the worst of all punishments. And it's been mentioned in the narrations about this. If you see a man who is continues to have provision coming to him while he is sinning, فَعْلَمْ أَنُّ الْإِسْتِدْرَاجِ, then know that this is al-istidraj. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leading him and waiting to take him in the worst time. And he has a means of punishment and retribution for him. So the Salaf, they will be afraid of this. They will be afraid of this, that the good that they have it could lead them to al-istidraj, that Allah is leading them in this manner, and they are going to be severely punished. So therefore, this carries them to strive against their soul, again to show thanks and use those blessings in the pleasure of Allah, and to fear Him even more in private, even more in private. So the author, he says, وَالْمَقْسُودُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمَّا وَصَّى مُعَاذًا بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً أَرْشَدَهُ إِلَى مَا يُعِينُهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ أَنْ يَسْتَحْيَ مِنَ اللَّهِ كَمَا يَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ رَجُلٍ ذِي هَيْبَةٍ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. And he referring back to the narration of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that the intent from this is that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commanded Mu'adh radiallahu anhu with the taqwa of Allah, with the fear of Allah in private and in public, he directed him likewise to that which will help him to do that. And he directed him to that which will help him to do that. And he, what would help somebody to fear Allah in public and private? And he, this is what he directed Mu'adh to, radiallahu anhu, and that is that he should be shy from Allah. That he should be shy from Allah in the manner that he's shy from a man and he, from his family who has status and rank, somebody who he honors and respects. The same way that he's shy from that person, and he would not like for that person to see him acting in a manner that is not befitting, or perpetrating and committing actions of disobedience and the likes like this, that he would be shy from that person, then likewise a person, he should be shy from Allah. Rather, in Allah haqqu wa yustahya minhu min an-nas. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in another narration, that verily Allah, he has more right. That verily Allah, he has more right that one should be shy from him than the people. That he has more right that one should be shy from them, from him than the people. It's been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, "Inna al-imana aw inna al-haya'a wa al-imana qurina jami'an. Fa idha rufiya ahaduhuma rufiya al-akhar." That al-haya', shyness and chastity, al-haya' wa al-iman qurina jami'an, they have been coupled together. Al-haya', shyness, and this bashfulness and shyness and chastity, it's an iman, sincere faith, they're coupled together. If one of them is lifted, the other one goes with it. If one of them is lifted, the other one goes with it. If the haya is removed, the iman goes with it accordingly. A person, his iman al-wajib, it's going to go down accordingly. Accordingly, the amount of haya that goes away, accordingly, the iman will come down. If he's not shy from Allah, and the likes like this, فَلَمْ تَسْدَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you're not shy, then do whatever you like then. And this is what will lead a person to do whatever he likes. Yani meaning to follow his desires, to disobey Allah, because he does not have any shyness. So if the shyness goes down, the iman comes with it. If the iman comes down, the shyness comes with it likewise. They come together. When a person, he becomes weak in faith, and weaker in his faith, then his shyness likewise becomes weaker and weaker. And he starts to have no care and concern. No care and concern. Even to the extent that it can come that a person, he will display his sins. And he will, even some of them, they will come to the extent, وَلِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ, they will videotape their own sins and then spread them on the internet. And then spread them on the internet. Because the iman has come down to the extent that the shyness has left likewise. So this is something that is very dangerous. إِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالْإِيمَانَ قُرِنَا جَمِيعًا فَإِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرُ. That verity, shyness, and iman, sincere faith, they're coupled together. They're coupled together. If one of them goes, then the other one goes with it. If one of them goes, the other one goes with it. If the haya goes away, what happens to the iman? It goes down accordingly, because if he's not shy from Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will perpetrate sins. Then he will commit the sins. He has no shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, if he has no shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal, he would have less concern about the commandments and fulfilling them properly. So whenever his shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal goes away, then likewise his iman goes away likewise. If the iman goes away, what happens to the shyness? The same thing. When the iman comes down, the more bold he gets. And in the opposite of being shy, he becomes bold. It's a difference between being brave and being bold. being bold like this, and to be bold and to disobey Allah blatantly in this manner like this, and upon knowledge and upon insight like this, this is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. So if the iman goes down, likewise the shyness goes down, he becomes bold and he will start to transgress those boundaries and to transgress those limits. And he will start to commit the sins, and it will become easier for him. And meaning that the ta'zim of the commandments of Allah in his heart become weaker. And thus his ta'zim of Allah becomes weaker. And at this time the iman and the taqwa becomes weaker, and he becomes exposed accordingly. And he becomes exposed accordingly. So this affair here of having shyness from Allah, this is something we have to cultivate ourselves upon. We have to cultivate ourselves upon this, to be shy from Allah and to remember Allah. And to likewise our family and our children, we should be shy from Allah. from the things that Allah has commanded and coupled along with His Tawheed is obedience to the parents. We should raise our children to be shy from disobeying their parents. And this is something in our times that the children are tried with. Yani tried with in a major way. Yani disobeying their parents or speaking back to their parents and the likes like this. But really they should be shy from that. And we should help them upon that way and cultivate them upon that and remind them that Allah, He does not like that. That Allah, He does not like that. That speech that you're saying now to your mother, for example. Ask, does Allah like that? Do you believe that Allah is pleased with you if you speak to your mother like that? If you raise your voice to your mother like that? Or if you talk back to your father like that? Do you think that Allah is pleased with you? Is Allah pleased with a child disobeying his parents? No, He doesn't like that. To remind them like this, to remind them of Tawheed, and to remind them that Allah sees them in this manner. And this is better than slapping or yelling. And this is much better than harshness and the likes like this, but rather to remind them of Allah and remind them of the Tawheed and to speak to them in this manner like this and to cultivate them upon the fear of Allah and to cultivate them and to cultivate them upon this, the shyness and the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal by reminders. So he's mentioning here now, he says, وَمَعْنَ ذَلِكَ يعني what does it mean to be shy from Allah? Yani in this manner, he says, وَمَعْنَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَسْتَشْعِرَ دَائِمًا بِقَلْبِهِ قُرْبَ اللَّهِ مِنْهُ وَطِلَاعَهُ عَلَيْهِ فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ نَظَرِهِ إِلَيْهِ. And this means, yani to be shy from Allah, he says that one will perceive always, he will remember, he will be conscious and aware, and he with his heart, the nearness of Allah to him. And that Allah, he is aware of him and everything that he's doing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is very close to him. Yani with his knowledge. أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And he's closer than the jugular vein, meaning that he's very near to the people with his knowledge and his sight, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is aware of this, and he is observing a person, so at this time, he will be shy that Allah is watching him. He will be shy that Allah is watching him. He mentioned, وَقَدْ امْتَثَلَ مُعَاذٌ مَا وَصَّاهُ بِهِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And Mu'adh, he had complied to this any commandment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordered him with. And he says, وَكَانَ عُمَرُ قَدْ بَعَثَهُ عَلَى أَمَلٍ. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent Mu'adh, yani to take care of some affairs for him and the likes. فَقَدِمَ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ شَيْءٍ. Yani Umar, he sent Mu'adh to take care of some business for him, yani with regards to the affairs of the Ummah. And whenever he returned with nothing. Mu'adh, whenever he returned from his job and fulfilling this order and this issue for Umar radiallahu anhu, he returned with nothing. So he says, فَعَاتَبَتْهُ إِمْرَأَتُهُ. So at this time, his wife is checking him and reprimanding him. Where you been? You come back with empty-handed. You've been on this journey or on this job taking care of this business and you come back with nothing. So he says, كَانَ مَعِي ضَاغِطٌ. He said, I had along with me a ضَاغِط. A dog is somebody who's putting pressure on him. Then he had along with him somebody putting pressure on him. Yani, but what does Mu'adh mean? Yani, يُضِيقُ عَلَيَّ. Yani, وَيَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ أَخْذِ شَيْءٍ. And he, along with me, there was somebody with me that was prohibiting me from taking anything and putting pressure on me until I could not take even a penny. Yani, he couldn't take anything. And Mu'adh, إِنَّمَا أَرَادَ مُعَادٌ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. But what Mu'adh is intending, and the reason why he didn't take anything, there's somebody that putting pressure on him like this, meaning that he was aware of Allah watching him. So he did not take anything from the job that he was doing, and he was doing it for the sake of Allah. And he did not take anything unlawfully or unrightfully. Rather, he came back in the manner that he came back, and he did not take anything. So he says, وَإِنَّمَا أَرَادَ مُعَادٌ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَظَنَّتْ امْرَأَتُهُ أَنَّ عُمَرَ بَعَثَ مَعَهُ رَقِيبًا. فَقَامَ تَشْكُوهُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. But his wife thought that he intended, yani that Umar had sent somebody to observe him and to watch him on his job. But in reality, it was Mu'adh radiallahu anhu that was observing and aware of Allah Azza wa Jal watching him. So this is just an example of a Salaf al-Salih and how they would be advised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how they would apply the knowledge. That they would learn the knowledge and it would benefit them. They would learn the knowledge and the narrations and the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and comply to that. And this is why they're called as-salaf as-salih. That they're the pious predecessors. They're righteous. They're righteous. Having the knowledge and not applying it is not righteousness. having the knowledge and not applying it is not piety, it's not taqwa. Having the knowledge and not applying it, that's not from salafiyya. Salafiyya is al-ilmu wal-amil, to have knowledge and to have action. The salaf, and following the salaf, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received revelation. He was upon knowledge. And that knowledge, he applied it. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His manners were the Qur'an sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? His manners were the Qur'an. Every commandment found in the Qur'an, he complied to it. He performed it and he applied it. Every prohibition in the Qur'an, he left it off and he stayed away from it. Everything that Allah ordered and ordained and encouraged in the Qur'an, he did it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اتَّمَرَ بِأَوَامِرِ الْقُرْآنِ وَانْتَهَا النَّوَاهِي. And he left off the prohibitions. So in this manner, his manners became the Qur'an. He's the Qur'an, meaning he's applying it like this. And he is the role model and the example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That he would apply the Qur'an and he would work by the Qur'an and it would be a light and a guide for him. And likewise his companions after him. Radiallahu anhum, they complied to that. They learned the knowledge. They learned the Qur'an and they learned the sunan. And they learned the halal and they learned the haram and they learned the fara'id and they learned al-awamir wal-nawahi, the commandments and the prohibition, and they applied them and they complied to them and they lived by way of them and they abided by the sharia. And this is why Allah raised their ranks, because they were people of taqwa. And likewise after that, the tabi'een, likewise they learned the knowledge and they complied to it and applied it and lived by way of it. And they preferred that way over every other way. And this is why they are righteous, and this is why they are successful, and this is the straight path, and this is the path of true salafiyya, having the proper knowledge and the proper application. We have an issue in these days, and that is that many people, they learn, and the knowledge is being spread far and wide, alhamdulillah. And many people, they have seen the proper creed, and they have begun learning the proper aqeedah, al-aqeedah salafiyya, sahiha, the aqeedah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Radiallahu anhum. But the issue is not with that. The issue is with the application of the aqidah. The application of the aqidah. From the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah, أنهم يؤمنون بأن الله السميع بصير. الإيمان بالصفات. بالصفات كما تليق بالله بجلالته سبحانه وتعالى وعظمته. They believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has the lofty names and beautiful attributes. Many people, they're learning these affairs, principles with regards to Quwaid, and this is very beneficial and good. But if that knowledge is not applied, then that knowledge is a proof against that person. Learning the Quwaid of the Sifat and the Tawheed and the likes like this of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the proper creed and the belief in the angels and in the books and in the messengers and in the last day and these affairs like this, and believing in the punishment in the grave and believing in the hold of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believing in the obligation of complying to the sunnah and leaving off the people of desires and staying away from innovation and the people of ahwa and the likes like this, all of this is a very beneficial knowledge. But if it is not applied, then it's not beneficial knowledge for that individual. Rather, it would be harmful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. So this knowledge is becoming widespread in these days, and it has entered into the homes of many of the Muslims, alhamdulillah. But where do we lack? Where do we lack? We lack in the application of that knowledge, and the application of that aqidah, and complying to those commandments that we are learning, and likewise those prohibitions, complying to what it requires for a person to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And likewise, complying to believing that Allah, He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. This requires for a person to fear Allah like this. This is required for a person to fear Allah in these manners. And this is the deen of Allah. And the one who is accordingly, or he uses the knowledge accordingly, then he has adorned himself with the best adornment. And he has sent forth for himself the best provision. And the one who falls short, then his garment is exposed accordingly, and likewise his soul is exposed accordingly, and likewise his provision, maybe it will not get him to the destination right away. Some people, they will have deficiency in that iman, and that's a deficiency in that provision, and that's a deficiency in that garment likewise, and therefore they're exposed accordingly. So maybe their provision is not going to get them to the Jannah right away. Maybe the zad that they have provided for their soul is not enough to get them to the paradise right away. Some people, they're going to take the easy way to paradise, straight and direct. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That's the one who takes the proper provision and he has a taqwa kamila that he's mentioning here, and he has fulfilled the rights and the obligations of al-iman al-wajib. But as for those who die and they're deficient in that affair, then maybe their provision is not going to get them. Although they have the provision to get there, maybe it will not get them there directly. Some people, they take the hard way to Jannah. There's an easy way to Jannah, and then there's a hard way. Like, there's an easy way to get to the path that you want to go to, and that's by having knowledge of that path and knowledge of the way upon that path and how to reach the goal, and then being steadfast and determined to stay on the path all the way till you get to the goal. Some people, they have knowledge of the path and they know where they want to go, but they don't go there. They get sidetracked and they take shortcuts. They think it's a shortcut, but in reality, it's a delay, and it delays them on their journey. Like that, those people who stray away from the straight path and stray away from the taqwa and stray away from the application of the beneficial knowledge, likewise, they're delaying their soul on arriving at their journey or on arriving at their goal, and which is the pleasure of Allah and His Jannah. So some of the believers, they don't make it across the bridge directly. Some of the believers, nasal Allah al-afi wa salam, they'll enter the hellfire and be cleansed for their sins. Other believers, they're going to go across directly. What is the key? What is the difference between the one who goes right across and the one who falls and is cleansed first? Two major points. The difference between the two. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. What is their trait? أحسنت. They have knowledge and action. They have knowledge and action. This is the main characteristics of the people المنعم عليهم. Those people who Allah has bestowed His blessings upon them. The people who are traversing properly upon the straight path. And that have preceded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and the righteous upon their way. There are people who have knowledge and action. There are people who have knowledge and action. And this is the means that carries them by the mercy of Allah straight to the Jannah. Straight, and they stay steadfast on the straight path in this life. Because they have knowledge and they apply that knowledge. They have knowledge of the commandments and how to apply them. They have knowledge of the prohibitions and how to stay away from them. They have knowledge of that which is recommended and good from speech and action, and they strive against their soul to do that. They have knowledge of that which is harmful and that which is impermissible or disliked, and they strive against their soul to avoid that. They comply in this manner, combining between knowledge and action. As for those people who have no knowledge, but they try to worship Allah, what are they like? Do they reach their goal? They don't reach their goal. Now, that's the example of Ad-Dalin. They're the Christians. They're people who worship Allah with ignorance. And likewise, from this ummah, anybody who is similar to them, worshiping Allah upon ignorance. These people are not promised to make it straight to Jannah. If they die with mutlaq al-iman, they have the promise of Jannah. But they don't have the promise to go there directly. They don't have the promise to go there directly. And likewise, the people who know but they don't apply it. The people who know but they don't apply it, they have learned the proper belief and creed, and they know the deen correctly and the commandments and prohibitions, but they don't apply it. They're not determined to be steadfast. Then likewise, it's the same. But these are the people like the Jews and anyone from this ummah likewise. Anyone from this ummah likewise who has that similar any issue. So this is something that is very important. Knowledge and action. Rather, this is the keys for success. The keys for success. So a person who wants to be upon the way of the Salaf al-Salih, that's what they did. They learned and they applied. And this is the example here. And Mu'adh, he heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then this is how he acted in that manner. And this is how he acted, and in that manner, they would learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then do that. And they would talk about, like they say in the talk, they would talk about that and they would be about that. So this is how a believer, he should strive to be. He should strive to be like that with himself, between himself and his Lord. Between him and he fear Allah in private. And it's between you and Allah, between me and Allah, between you and your Lord. Like this, that you want to go to Jannah, then khalas, you learn the path of Jannah, now what are you going to do? You don't want to go to the fire? We don't want to go to the fire. Everybody, do you want to go to the lahabid then? I don't want to go to the fire. Somebody says he doesn't want to go to the fire, but he keeps eating interest. He keeps taking interest. He keeps selling pork. He keeps traveling with alcohol. He keeps, but he says he doesn't want to go to, is that going to help him? I don't want to go to the, somebody says, I don't want to get burned. He put his hand in the fire. Is that going to help in the fact that he says that the fire won't burn him now? He doesn't. I don't want to get burned. But he put his hand in the fire. Is that going to help him? That's not going to help him. He's going to get burned. He's going to get burned. So likewise, a believer, he has to take his soul seriously. He has to take his life seriously. And even then still, and I remind myself anew that a believer, he can still have good. He can still have much good, even more good, and in a manner that's permissible. And he can still have good in this life. And he can smile and he can laugh and enjoy himself. And this life before the hereafter, upon piety, upon that which is halal, upon that which is good. He can have wealth that is wholesome, beneficial for him, pure and good for him and his family. And this is the case. So Ibn Rajab, he says, وَمَنْ صَارَ لَهُ هَذَا الْمَقَامُ حَالًا دَائِمًا أَوْ غَالِبًا فَهُوَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ وَمِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَشْرِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا الْلَّمَمُ. So he's mentioning now that the one who his reality or his situation is like this always. And he like this always or the majority of the time. And indicating to the two types of people of piety and the people of righteousness at different levels. But he's saying the one who is like this always or the majority of the time. Because nobody is going to be perfect all the time. Nobody is going to be able to fulfill the rights of taqwa all the time. Nobody is going to be able to comply properly all the time. And to stay away from all of the prohibitions at every moment. But rather somebody or every person, he's going to have faults and deficiencies. So he's saying that the one who is like this always, or yani the majority of the time, that he is from the muhsineen. He's from the good doers. He is from those people who are worshipping Allah as if they see him. And he is from those good doers, those who stay away from the major sins and from the actions of indecency like zina and the likes, except for the minor sins. Except for the minor sins. So he says, وَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ فَتَّقْوَ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ وَهُوَ وَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ فَتَقْوَ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ هُوَ عَلَامَةُ كَمَالِ الْإِيمَانِ. So he says to summarize that the taqwa, the fear of Allah, in private, this is the sign of complete faith. This is the sign of complete faith. The one who fears Allah in private, this is the sign of complete faith. وَلَهُ تَأْثِيرٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي إِلْقَاءِ اللَّهِ لِصَاحِبِهِ الثَّنَاءَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now he's closing this discussion and he's mentioning one of the benefits of fearing Allah in private. He says, so I need to summarize, to fear Allah in private, this is the sign of complete faith and it has a tremendous effect. It has a tremendous effect on the fact that Allah will cast in the hearts of the believers praise for that person and that the believers, they will love that person. How could a person, he gain the love of the believers? And by fearing Allah, in private. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Those who believe and work righteous deeds, verily Allah, He will give them love. Ar-Rahman, He will give them love. And meaning that He will make the people love Him. So the fact that the people love an individual, this is not based upon what they do. This is also from the command of Allah. This is from the command of Allah. And it has been mentioned in the narrations that if Allah loves a person, then He will call out to the inhabitants of the heaven that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا, that very Allah, He loves so-and-so, فَأَحِبُّ. And Jibreel, He will call out. Verily, He will tell Jibreel, alayhi salam, and then Jibreel, He will call out to the people. That verily Allah, He loves so-and-so, so love Him. And then the inhabitants of the heavens, meaning the angels, they will love Him. And they will continue in this manner until love is written for him in the earth, or acceptance is written for him in the earth. So then to have the love of the people, the believers specifically, is to obey Allah. Is to obey Allah. So this is from the fruits of that. He's saying that from that which has a great effect a great benefit for Allah to put the praise of a person in the heart of the believers, meaning that they would love him and praise him and think good about him, is that a person, he will fear Allah in the unseen. He would fear Allah in the unseen, meaning in his private affair. In his private affair. He says, قال أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه ليتقي أحدكم أن تلعنه قلوب المؤمنين. He said that one of you should be cautious lest the hearts of the believers curse him. That one of you should be cautious that the hearts of the believers will curse him. And how is that? وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرُ. And he is not even aware of that. And the believers, their hearts, they will curse a person. And that person, maybe he will not even be aware of that. He says, يَخْرُو بِمَعَاصِ اللَّهِ فَيُلْقِ اللَّهُ لَهُ الْبُغْضَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said he will go out by himself and he will go to be alone to partake or to commit the actions of disobedience. Disobedience to Allah. So because of this, Allah will cast hatred or disgust in the hearts of the believers for him. In the hearts of the believers for him. And this is something that the Salaf, they used to mention. That one of them, they would see the effects of their sins in their family or in their riding animal. They would see that if they had issues in their house with their wife or with their family members, and they would have problems and the likes like this in their life, that they wouldn't blame it on those people, but rather they'll blame it on their self. And they would say that one of them would see that his wife would disrespect him or disobey him like this, and then he would leave, and then he would realize that this is because of his sins, and he would repent and he would come home and his affairs would be rectified. And he would repent and come home and his affairs would be rectified. And one of them likewise would mention the same thing with his riding animal, meaning that he would go and try to use his animal and benefit from that riding animal, and he would not obey him and he would not be able to benefit from it. And the likes like this, and then he would seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he would repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, and things would go back to normal. Things would go back to good again. So this is likewise another way of the righteous, that whenever things are not going yani as one plans, they will not blame the people or find fault with the people and the likes, but rather they will find fault with themselves, with their selves, and they will blame their selves, and they will repent to Allah. And they will repent to Allah. So this is something here that he's mentioning about this this affair. So he says, قَالَ سُلَيْمَانَ التَّيْمِي إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُسِيبُ الذَّنْبَ فِي السِّرِّ فَيُسْبِهُ وَعَلَيْهِ مَذَلَّتُهُ. He said that Sulaiman al-Taymi from the Salaf, he mentioned that a man, he would perpetrate a sin in private, and then he would wake up and he would have the humiliation of that on him, and he would be, and he meaning that, and he would have issues, or the people would he would find that the people would disrespect him or not honor him and the likes like this, and this is from his sins. This is from his sins. He would commit a sin, but how would he commit it? In private. And so this is also from that issue, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense is from the type of deed of a person. He thinks that he's going to hide from the people and then commit these sins, then and the people, so they don't see him. Because if the people see him, what are they gonna do? They're not gonna like him. He's gonna have humility in front of them and the likes like this. So in any case, he does it even in private, then Allah will cast that on him. And even if they don't know that he sinned, they still find in their heart they have a problem with him, or they have an issue with him and the likes like this, and they disrespect him and they don't have any honor for him, because these affairs are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَالَ غَيْرُهُ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُثْنِبُ الذَّنْبَ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ إِلَىٰ إِخْوَانِهِ فَيُرَوْنَ أَثَرَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. He says that verily, some of them would say that verily a person, he would sin, he would commit a sin, and then after that, I mean, he would commit a sin between himself and between Allah. And then after that, he would go to his brothers, and they would see the trace of that upon him. They would see the trace of that upon him, and the humiliation that he has brought upon himself. And they would see the effect of that sin upon him. He says, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى وَجُودِ الْإِلَهِ الْحَقِّ الْمُجَازِي بِذَرَّاتِ الْأَعْمَالِ فِي الدُّنْيَا قَبْلَ الْآخِرَةِ لَا يَضِيعُ عِنْدَهُ عَمَلُ عَامِلٍ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ مِنْ قُدْرَتِهِ حِجَابٌ وَلَا إِسْتِتَارٌ. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is from the greatest evidences of the existence of the true Lord, or the true God, the one who recompenses for the smallest of affairs, and for the smallest of actions in this life before the hereafter. And nothing, and no deed of anyone is going to be neglected, and no veil or no curtain will benefit from his power and authority. Meaning you can't hide from him. You can't hide from him. You can't pull the curtain any to between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, فَالسَّعِيدُ مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. And so the one who is happy, the one who has felicity and goodness in this life and the hereafter, السَّعِيدُ مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ, the one who rectified that which is between him and between Allah. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْخَلْقِ. Because verily the one who rectifies his situation between him and Allah, then Allah will rectify his situation between him and the people. Between him and the people. And this goes back to the verse. يعني وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلُهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. So this is something the Salaf, they would always mention. يعني مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. That whoever rectified his self, his condition between him and Allah, himself, with him and his Lord, first and foremost, then Allah will rectify his condition with the people. Then Allah will rectify his condition with the people. Many people that have been misguided, many people, some people, alhamdulillah, they are guided from day one, a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Other people, they have tasted the waylat of misguidance, and they have many different avenues, misguidance of disbelief, misguidance of hypocrisy, misguidance inside of Islam, of different deviations and the likes and innovations. And then going through these ways, they found the straight path. And they've seen that the reality of this, that whoever fears Allah, that's the only way. All of this disbelief they've been through, all of this hypocrisy that they've been through, all of these innovations that they've been through, all of this misguidance that they've been through, the only way that it was rectified was by faith in Allah. And they've seen that, and they tasted that, the halawa of iman, and the benefit that they have whenever they started to pray five times a day, or they started to fast the month of Ramadan, whenever they started to learn the sunnah, whenever they started to grow their beard, whenever they started to pull their pants above their ankle, whenever they started to comply to the commandments, whatever it was, whether it was a great major commandment, or whatever the case it was all the same for them. They took the deen seriously, and they started to strive to follow that which they learned from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And they seen after that, they rectified between them and Allah. Allah fixed their situation. Many of them, they're looking for a wife. They think they can never get married. They have a wife, they have children, or they can't find a job. They can't find this. Now they have their own business. And like this, Allah, He makes ways out for them. But how? Yani by fearing Him. By fearing Him. By obeying Him. And making a way they could never even perceive. I'm going to have my own business? Allahu Akbar. Never. He would think, I could never. But in reality, Allah, He made it easy for him. How does it start? It starts by fearing Allah. It starts by learning the deen of Allah. It starts by applying the knowledge that one has, in public and in private. This is the means and the keys for success. The keys for success. So he says, again, فَالسَّعِيدُ مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْخَلْقِ. That verily the one who is Sa'id, the one who is happy and good, the winner, the successful is the one who rectified that which is between him and between Allah. And verily, whoever rectifies that which is between him and between Allah, then Allah will rectify that which is between him and between the creation. And meaning between the people. وَمَنْ الْتَمَسَ مَحَامِدَ النَّاسِ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ عَادَ حَامِدُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ لَهُ ذَمًّا. And whoever seeks the praise of the people at the cost of the anger of Allah, then the one who praised him will return, or in the end will blame him. In the end will blame him. And he in the end will blame him. So sometimes somebody, he will do something to have status with the people, or rank with the people, but or praise from the people. But in order to do that, he has to disobey Allah. And he can't get that from them except by disobeying Allah. He can't get that position that he wants from them, whatever it is, money, wealth, praise, honor, respect, status, job, raise, except by disobeying Allah. So then, for the time being, then he gets what he wants. They praise him, or he gets his position. But in the end, that same person will wind up blaming him and finding fault with him, and will be his enemy. If not in this life, then for sure in the hereafter. If not in this life, then for sure in the hereafter. قال أبو سليمان. قال أبو سليمان. الخاسر من أبدى للناس صالح أمره وبارز بالقبيح من هو أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد وبارز بالقبيح من هو أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. Abu Sulaiman, he says that the loser, the true loser, is the one who shows the people his good deeds, and he makes his good deeds apparent to the people. وبارز بالقبيح من هو أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. And then he exposed and he blatantly. And he went, Baraza, what does that mean? Publicly to go even, but like a Mubaraza is when somebody's gonna go head on hand. A Mubaraza, Yubarizu, he's gonna take him straight on. Like a Mubaraza, that's whenever there's two people, they'll both have a sword and they'll face one on one like this. And this is the type of wording that is being used here, that same meaning, but he's publicly just displaying, blatantly, no concern, hiding, showing the people his good deeds. Whenever the people are not looking, then he'll blatantly show Allah Azza wa Jal contrary to that. The most despicable or disgusting deeds, and the lowly and detestable deeds, he saved them, and he to show that and to display that to the one who was more nearer than his jugular vein. So these are yani admonitions that the one who hears them, he benefits. The one who hears them, he benefits, and he is reminded by this. He closes the issue here. He says, وَمِنْ عَجَبِ مَا رُوِيَ فِي هَذَا مَا رُوِيَ عَنْ أَبِي جَعْفَرَ السَّائِحِ. He said, from the most amazing things that have been narrated about this affair is that which is narrated from Abu Ja'far al-Sa'ih. And these are some narrations he mentioned, and they're stories of the righteous and the likes. And we see that these are affairs that, yani the Salaf, they'll mention them, or the scholars of Hadith and the likes, they'll mention these affairs in their books sometimes as an admonition, but they're not relying upon them. Not relying upon them as evidences and the likes. The evidences of these issues are established, and then they'll mention sometimes stories or sometimes a dream that one of the righteous seen and the likes like this, not as a means of establishing evidence or proof for the issue, but just as an extra benefit and the likes like this. So he's closing it with this story. You're mentioning of one of the people, Abu Ja'far al-Sa'i. قَالَ كَانَ حَبِيبٌ أَبُو مُحَمَّدٍ تَاجِرًا يَكْرِي الدَّرَاهِمِ فَمَرَّ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ بِسِبْيَانٍ يَلْعَبُونَ. So he's mentioning here that there was a man, his name is Habib Abu Muhammad, and he used to be a tajir, and he used to loan money. And meaning he'd take interest. He used to loan money, he used to take interest. And one day he's passing by some children and they're playing. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ قَدْ جَاءَ أَكِلُ الرِّبَى فَنَكَسَ رَأْسَهُ. So he's going by, and then all of a sudden he sees these young boys playing, and then one of them says to the other, here comes the one who takes riba. And here comes the one who takes interest, the children. And he's exposed even to the children knowing him. So he heard this. He heard this. And he, قَدْ جَاءَ أَكِلُ الرِّبَى. So he turned his head back and he looked. وَقَالَ يَا رَبَّ أَفْشَيْتَ سِرِّي إِلَى السِّبْيَانِ. He said, oh my Lord, verily you have spread my secret even to the children. You have spread my secret even to the children. فَرَجَعَ فَجَمَعَ مَالَهُ كُلُّهُ وَقَالَ يَا رَبِّ إِنِّي أَسِيرٌ وَإِنِّي قَدْ اشْتَرَيْتُ نَفْسِي مِنْكَ بِهَذَا الْمَالِ فَعَتِقْنِي. He said, so after this, yani he's repenting now. When he realized this, and he took his wealth and gathered all of it, he said, verily I am a captive with you, and I want to free myself. And I am captive to Allah because of his sins. So he wants to free himself from his sins. So he gathered all of his wealth and he gave it. He said, free me. And he gave that money away as a charity, and to get rid of it. فَلَمَّا أَسْبَحَ تَصَدَّقَ بِالْمَالِ كُلُّهُ وَأَخَذَ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. So in the morning he woke up and he gave the charity, he gave the money away, all of it in charity. And then he began to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So he repented and then followed up his repentance with action. And this is the true repentance. The true repentance. And this is the at-tawbah, yani wa ziyada, al-inaba. Whenever a person, he repents in his heart and he feels bad, and then after that he strives in devotion. Yani wa anibu ila rabbikum wa aslimu lahu. This is what Allah has commanded. This is called al-inaba. When a person, he commit a crime, and a person, he sins, and then he feels bad and he has remorse, and he leaves that, and then he repents, he makes tawbah. And then after the tawbah, along with that, he increases in devotion. That tawbah and that sin carries him. And whenever he remembers that sin, carries him to devote himself even more and to strive even more to be sincere in worship. This is what he's doing here. Yani, so then he took to worship. ثُمَّ مَرَّ ذَاتَ يَوْمًا بِأُولَئِكَ السِّبْيَانِ. And then another day after this, later, he is passing by those same children. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And then whenever they saw him, some of them, and they said to one another, أُسْكُتُوا فَقَدْ جَاءَ حَبِيبٌ الْعَابِدِ. They said, be quiet, because verily Habib, this devout worshiper, he's coming by now. Yani now they know him by another name now, like this. Yani so he says, فَبَكَى. So he cried. وَقَالَ يَا رَبِّ أَنْتَ تَذُمُّ مَرَّةً وَتَحْمِدُ مَرَّةً وَتَحْمَدُ مَرَّةً وَكُلُّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَكُلُّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. He says, so, oh my Lord, verily. Yani he began crying, oh my Lord, verily, one time you blame and find fault, and the other time you are praising, and all of this is from you. And the hand is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even yani, if a person, he fell into the major sins like this, riba, yani, this is not something light. Allah, he mentioned about the one who does that, and then he learns about the maw'idah and the admonition, and he does not comply. فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And there's nothing in the Quran like this, or nothing in the Sunnah, whenever there is a mention of a sin that Allah declared war for that person. Let it be known, an announcement. فَأْذَنُوا. And then, this is a, let it be known. Let it be known, an announcement. Let it be known. بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Of a war from Allah and His Messenger. Of a war from Allah and His Messenger. نَعُوذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Now who can fight? Who can go to war with Allah and His Messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, you can't win that war. But some people, they're deceived. But here, like this person here, and it's a story from that's come from the Salaf, but there's benefit there. And that is, from that, or is that even if a person, he were to do that, even if a person, he were to do that, and then he would repent, فَلَكُمْ رُؤُسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ وَلَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the most forgiving and most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jal, He will accept the repentance of those who repent. It's been mentioned about that, that there were some people who came from the desert, the Arab. وَقَدْ قَتَلُوا وَأَكْثَرُوا الْقَتَلُ وَزَنَوا وَأَكْثَرُوا الزِّنَا. That they had murdered people, and they had murdered a lot. And they had committed fornication, and they committed fornication a lot. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Ya Muhammad, and O Muhammad said, verily we heard what you're talking about and what you call to. Wa innahu la hasan. He said, and verily we think it's good. And then we heard about your da'wah, and we heard about what you're calling to and the likes, and verily we think it's good. He said, but we have major sins. But we have major sins. But we have major sins. And so tell us about this. Is there a kafara? Is there any type of way of expiation? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the verse, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. He says, say, O my slaves who have transgressed against their own souls, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah, He forgives all sins. This is what Ibn Rajab, he had mentioned with regards to the first wasiyah, the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. After this, he begins to discuss the issues related to وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيَّةِ الْحَسَنَةِ تَمْهُوهَا. And in follow up the bad deed with a good deed, it will erase it. So inshallah, we'll begin this portion in the next class, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But we have studied this portion here for some time, and we want to see who has memorized the narration. Ibrahim. Let's just do the word. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ. السيئة حسنة تم تمها أحسنت
تمها
خالق
الناس
بخلق حسن. They call that jihad. That's called jihad. الجهاد في طالب العلم. جزاك الله خيرا. I texted him the other day. He's working on it. MashaAllah. He's got it today. جزاك الله خيرا. أحسنت. أحسنت. طالب العلم يحتاج إلى جهاد. جهاد. هذا هو جهاد اليوم. جهاد. جهاد اليوم في طالب العلم وفي الدعوة الناس إلى الخير بالرفق والحكمة واللين والبيان. This is the jihad of today. Striving to learn the deen and to spread it. To learn the deen and to spread it. To spread the knowledge by knowledge and also by application. By application. Muhammad. You gotta close the book. I have one. No, okay. Yeah, I'm asking questions today. Is it okay?
I'm
أحسنت ما شاء الله هذا زيادة extra credit الحمد لله جزاك الله خيرا ممتاز who has memorized the hadith نعم أحسنت may Allah give you and all of us the ability to apply that knowledge أحسنت بارك الله فيك you gonna catch up with him you don't know it tomorrow inshallah It's easy for those who Allah makes it easy for. If you ask Him to help you, it's easy. اتق الله. Oh, you already know it. اتق الله حيثما كنت. نعم. واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها. وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. Ah, you got it. And tomorrow, inshallah, you good? We have an appointment. Tomorrow we have an appointment. Mawheed, inshallah. اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. محمد. الحسنة تمحو وخالق
بخلق
حسن ما شاء الله ما شاء الله هو سكن عبد الله إن شاء الله ما شاء الله أحسنت أحسنت طيب تطلب الحبيب ما شاء الله هو خلاص جيد
انا مضاف من هذا و موضوع من واجب الجاب رضي الله عنهما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
أحسنت جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك